Zechariah Perek Vav, Pasuk Dalet. So we've had a vision of four chariots, one drawn by red horses, Bavel, one drawn by black horses, either Paras and Madai, or just one of them, a third drawn by white horses, so either the other of Paras and Madai or Greece, and the fourth being drawn by spotted horses, ash-colored horses. So many of the Mefarshim say that that's one and the same. That's Rome. But an interesting point about Matsudas David and also Rashi is they say that it's Edom, it's Rome, but it's also Yishmael. And that's going to be really important, as we're going to see in an upcoming Pasuk. So it's a combination of the two of them. And so I raised my voice. I said to the Malach who spoke to me, what are these, my master? Vayan ha-malach vayomer elai. And this time, without any kind of, I don't want to say sarcastic, but without any kind of cutting answer saying, don't you know what they are? The answer is important. The malach replies and says to me, Ela arba ruchas ha-shomayim. These are the four corners of the heavens. The sarim, the heavenly princes, the avatars of the nations that rule over the four corners of the earth, like the Tsar Esav that Yaakov struggled with overnight in the wrestling match. Yotzos me his yatzev al adon kol ha'aretz. They're coming forth. They're moving forward from standing behind HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the master of the entire earth. So this is to give permission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly to these four kingdoms to rule over the four corners of the earth, each one in its appropriate era. So they are destined to be in charge. Whether we like it or not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan, and that plan includes these earthly empires that have existed and continue to exist. The chariot that the black horses literally were in, the one drawn, led by the black horses, the kingdom of Media, is heading northward to the northland. We don't mention the red ones first, Bavel, because Bavel had already been destroyed by the time that the Navi Zechariah is prophesying. And the white ones, Persia, go forth after them. In the north, they're going to rule over Bavel. They're going to knock out the Medes. And if they're the Greeks, then they certainly came later under Alexander the Great. They wrested power away from the Persians and replaced them as the supreme world power. And the spotted ones, the spotted ones went forth to the southland. So either they're pushing Greece to then move northward in terms of military advances, in terms of its direction in which it was going, but the spotted horses are going to the south. So in Egypt, south of Rome, there's going to be a war commenced between Rome and Greece, beginning the chain of Roman conquest, where the Hellenist forces are knocked out, and then they're going to spread from there. But it's interesting, Pasuk Zion really gives us a sense of where we are in the present day. The ash-colored ones went forth and begged to walk to and fro, back and forth, across the land, across the earth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go out, walk upon the surface of the entire earth. And they did. Three times it talks about walking to and fro, traversing the earth, extending the length of their rule over the entire earth. So on the one hand, some of the Mefarshim say this is Edom, the Roman Empire whose power extends over the earth and lasts for 400 years, which is a very long time. But Matsudos and others say this is Yishmael, the Arab peoples. Radak says it this way: they gird themselves with strength to attain dominion wherever they could achieve it. And they sought permission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to carve out their empire and were granted the right to do so. So here we are now living in a time when those two empires, Rome and Yishmael, the Christians and the Muslims, are walking to and fro, but mostly the Muslims across the earth. And if you think about it, the thing about Islam is that it does not have one home country. It's not like the Roman Empire. It's not like the Catholic Church. It's not located in one place. Hishalchu va'aretz, they are spreading across the land. Islam doesn't begin till the 600s. It really gains power in around 700-750 Common Era. Of what they like to call the ancient religions, it's really the youngest one. It comes hundreds of years after Christianity even begins. And yet look at the dominion that it's got, and look at the boundary-less existence that they have. By the year 750, they were practically knocking on the doors of Vienna in Europe. There was tremendous fear of the Muslim conquest, which had done so much to take over parts of the Middle East, of Africa, Asia. There are Muslims everywhere now. They're coming to Michigan. They're coming to Minnesota. They're coming, obviously, to New York and Los Angeles and every place in between and Canada. This is a nevuah for the ages. This is not a nevuah for a temporary understanding of these spotted and ash-colored horses. They're among us right now, and the struggle for dominion is very real. I've read any number of articles and books and interviews about whether or not Islam is antithetical to Western culture and society. And Zechariah is telling us it has a long, long reach and a long dominion. And it's fearsome and it's scary. And when I've been reading news over the last couple of weeks, it's been impossible almost to continue reading current events because it's all anti-Semitic. If you read it, if you read Facebook, social media, people's posts, UCLA has a hostage from Gaza speaking. And of course, immediately all of UCLA's students are outraged at the idea that you could possibly have a hostage who was part of the provocation that caused the October 7th freedom attempts in the first place. I'm recording this on Yom HaAtzma'ut. Yom HaAtzma'ut, no matter how you feel about it, but what do they call it among the Palestinians, the Arabs, and now much of the world? The Nakba. You know, the day of essentially genocide, of attack on freedom and liberty. But of course, the ash-colored horses don't want freedom and liberty. The spotted horses don't want freedom and liberty. They want dominion. They want rule. The only thing that gives me hope is that Zechariah prophesied that this was going to happen, but he also prophesied that there's going to be the Mashiach beyond this, that there's still going to be a redemption despite all of this incredible dominion that the ash-colored and spotted horses are going to have. And we'll finish, really, the end of the Nevuah is the next Pasuk, Pasuk Ches, but it gave me the shakes when I first looked at this to prepare to be able to speak, because any of the Mefarshim and their perception, their perceptivity of what this means, think about how the Almohads took over Spain for a long period of time before the Inquisition. And neither one of those was good for the Jews of Sephardim. Even though we like to say that the Muslim reign over Spain was better for the Jews. The Jews had positions in court. The Jews weren't immolated on the auto de fe. But did it end well for us? It never does. And for all of the Muslim kindness to Jews, it has limits. And if you read the Quran on Jews, I have an entire book called The Quran and the Jews. It is not a pleasant read to see what Muhammad has to say about what should happen to all of us. So watch out for the horses. Watch out for the ghost riders in the sky. They portend dangerous times for the Eden of all time.